And next we're going to have Esteban Charnay, who's going to give us the benefit of a great deal of wisdom in this area.
Thank you, Don. Thank you to all of you to be here. I am representing the board, and the comments that we'll be making have not been sanctioned by the board. They express my views that I think are nuanced by the meetings of the board. Okay. Je vous remercie d'être ici ce matin, et je vais poursuivre en anglais. Okay. All right. This is the. Those who are in the back probably cannot read everything. I made a blunder, and I thought the second screen will also be on. So I will read what I have put, and I'll comment on top of it. I only have 6 slides. Now, we shouldn't be on the defensive because natural gas is so cheap, you know. I think we have an argument of our own to sell to the public and to policymakers and to industry that today I represent. In May 2013, we went over the 400 ppm of CO2 in the atmosphere. Yesterday, there was a major report by the United Nations, still not public, but the report will be officially released, I think it's today or tomorrow, and in which the perspective of climate change are really somber. And some people expect 2 degrees increase by 2050. Apparently, according to the simulations, which have to be validated, it will be 2030. This will create a major problem for food and in the world. Okay, so read this report because this is enhances, I think, our cause. The second one is President Obama announced yesterday that climate change becomes a top priority in the United States. Probably he had news from the United Nations report. Okay, so this goes in our favor. So we have no choice as society but to act. And I think BioFuelNet could become a key actor in the years to come. Let's see how. Let's see why. BioFuelNet will act at 3 levels. It will act as a facilitator to understand better the resource, to understand better the challenges of the resource and the opportunities. Not everybody is in favor of biomass as a resource that has to be transformed into fuels and chemicals. But, you know, we have a good cause to satisfy food needs and as well as other needs. So BioFuelNet will have to focus on this facilitating aspect. You guys have to deliver. You have to deliver basic concepts that you guys prove at laboratory and bench scale. And then you also deliver what? Highly qualified personnel. So these 2 things are taken by industry and make it happen in one way or the other. So BioFuelNet will monitor the deliverables. The third thing is transfer. We have to transfer efficiently the basic concepts and highly qualified personnel to the 2 types of industry that are able to make it happen. The established industry, large corporations, they are all of them in the stock exchange, and that they have to respond to demands of their shareholders to have big returns. But these companies are interested for many reasons in what BioFuelNet does. There is a second category of companies in which I function, which are entrepreneurial companies. These are companies that start from zero, they find capital, and they do projects that put biomass on the map. These are do-or-die companies. Either we succeed or we fail. this is a binary system for entrepreneurial companies. I chose this route with my sons. So the third thing is influencing policy. We have to find social and environmental acceptable solution. And the seas part of the biofuel nets is going to develop such tools with which policymakers can develop mandates, can develop, I don't like subsidies, but I like mandates, you know, can tell people that's what you want, that's what you will have, okay? Well, let's go. Why is biofuel net distinct yet complementary of other programs? Canada has been blessed with many programs that they're still there and that help both academia and industry to move forward. But biofuel net has another role. It is a unique and integrated approach via platforms and themes that are sanctioned by industry, okay, and around key issues. First issue that we have, and you guys have to focus, is can we have a biomass resource that has better yields per acre or per hectare, that has a lower cost. Today, biomass, even residual biomass from the forest or from agriculture, is impossible to find it at less than $60 to $80 per ton dry basis. Can we add biomass-containing waste as feedstock, you know, from urban places, from other places? So I think biofuel net has a role to play in exploring this and coming with solutions, you know. The second thing is sound science and engineering, which delivers the proof of basic concepts. After all, universities are fundamental institutions. We have to do better understanding of fundamentals to get into the real world. So that's these basic concepts have to be able to be scaled up by eventually industry into what? Into small plant capacities. This is a key concept that I think biofuel net is going to push forward. You know, we won't be able to do 100,000 barrels a day of output products. This is not possible with biomass. So we have to tailor all the technologies to smaller systems. And I'll give some hints how to do this. And we have to do market-driven projects. What we do has to have a taker. It has to attract people to buy it, and either from industry and then after with the product. We have to develop social and environmental acceptability tools. After all, it's the public that decides through elections or through the civil system. No? So the next two slides qualify some of these issues. This is very small, but I have to read it. Can you hear me well? I never talk high. Science and engineering, which has been the place where I performed for many years, has to be compatible with relatively small plant capacities. Bioenergy in all its forms cannot compete in plant capacity with established sectors. Okay? Now, in Qatar, there is a natural gas to liquid plant on half by Shell and half by Qatar. It produces 140,000 barrels per day of finished products. If you translate it with an average density of a fuel, it will be between 15 and 20,000 tons a day of finished products. The largest pulp and paper company in the world does not exceed 4,000 tons a day. It's phenomenal infrastructure. Near in Montreal, in Varennes, there is an ethanol plant, 150 million liters. When you translate it into tons of finished products per day, this is barely 500. And you know, and the plant that we're building in Edmonton will produce 80 tons a day of finished products. Very far from the oil and gas. So we have to put our brains into this. Now, this requires creative solutions from all of you that lead to innovative approach known as a hub and a spoke. Yeah? So we could have satellite plants that feed a centralized system of finishing. This is how we have to move, you know, together. Not a single group will do it. So this has many advantages. It has a decentralized production system, which creates regional development and community support. You know, when the oil comes from anywhere in the world and is refined in Montreal or is refined somewhere else, doesn't have the community link. Biomass has a community link. Okay? Small capacity plants produce intermediates. Don't go all the way to the end. Produce clean, recognizable, reproducible intermediates. And then move the intermediates from several satellite plants into a finishing plant. And then you can begin building up capacity. And never equal, but you know, you can begin rivalry with the other sector. Okay? Biorefineries do not have to be a small version of the traditional oil refinery. They cannot be. They have to be based on a different model, which is the model I am explaining. The challenge for BioFuelNet is to identify and deliver the basic elements and technological pathways that lead to such approach. This is our challenge. Market acceptance and co-products. By the way, it's very difficult to live in a world in which you only produce fuels. You have to do co-products, otherwise it doesn't work. The challenge is whether recycled carbon or biogenic carbon can be incorporated into biofuels and biochemicals at a market cost that society accepts. Okay. BioFuelNet is well positioned to turn the challenge into opportunity. There is a significant interest of industry in BioFuelNet. This interest proves that industrial players are willing to explore. There is a social environmental acceptability whose tools being developed by BioFuelNet will progressively influence policies and regulations. BioFuelNet also has a component that you have to understand. When you produce a new fuel, a new chemical, then it has to be homologated. BioFuelNet can help in this homologation. Industry will benefit. And the creativity of researchers in BioFuelNet should do the rest. Reduce cost, CapEx and OpEx, enhance energy efficiency of the conversion pathways. That's your role. So Canada is blessed with diversified energy sources. They have led to major deployments in oil, be conventional oil or heavy oil, gas, coal, hydro and wind. Yet only recently, the Canadian Green Advantage has begun penetrating the fuel and chemical sectors in response to climate change. Always link the two. BioFuelNet could become a key actor in accelerating such penetration and thus enhancing Canadian contribution to sustainability. The ball is in your court. Okay? Thank you.
We have a few minutes if anybody would like to ask questions of Dr. Charnay. You can ask me too if you want, but much more interesting. Any questions? Oh, here we are. Up to you. I bet you don't. But
I've got a challenge for you. One of the things that dawned on me as I listened to you, and something I've been trying to understand in my head, can we come up with a new word for biorefinery?
Yes.
I think the term refinery is causing stigma because it associates us with an old industry, a non-renewable industry, a dirty industry. And yet it really also doesn't really capture the advantages that bio offers. Is there another way, and I was going to throw that out actually, I'm part of that HTP workshop on Saturday, and we got all these young, much brighter minds than mine, you know, living on Red Bull, maybe like Don or somebody else, doing something else for stimulation, but it's the whole idea, can we come up with something else that sets us apart?
Well, I give you the easy answer. Since I speak many languages, I'm confused in all of them. So I
I don't have a good word, but this is crucial, you know. We have to be identified solely as bioenergy groups or bioenergy and co-products. And rather than just imitating what a huge industry that has done very well for the world, you know, is still doing, but it's not what we do, you know. So, and, you know, when I see this word biorefinery proliferating, I say we are in the wrong track, you know. We are just falling into them, you know. They will play with us, but they also have their own agendas, these companies. So I don't know. Now, one thing I didn't want to say in writing is that we have no choice in the next few years to try to understand how we can collaborate with this, particularly with the gas industry. Gas is very cheap. It's going to be cheap for 50 years or so. You know, I won't be there in 50 years, but many of you won't, some will. But you know, I think we have to begin thinking how we can begin working with the gas industry and try to work with them together, you know. They need legitimization. You know, this is the word. They need legitimization because, you know, fracking is not, in principle, a good thing. So if they work with us, you know, they will be, you know, gaining some credibility on the environmental side. So that's the interaction that I think BiofuelNet can promote, okay? Thank you. I couldn't come up with a word, even in my mother tongue, Catalan.